For many years, maybe since your childhood, if you just let the Spirit of God take over, man, you would be so impressed with what God can do with every part of your life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 speaks to this, and I may direct us to Acts 2 here in just a few moments, but look at Romans 8 and verse 14. In fact, it's pretty small. Let's read it out loud together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, speak to us right now by your word. I know time is slipping away, God, but we have time for you to minister by your word and by your Spirit so that miracles can happen here, Lord. Let our lives be changed by the power of the word of God. One more time, just thank the Lord for his word and his presence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Praise God. You may be seated. If you're around Heaven View for any length of time, you'll hear us reference a verse in the New Testament from the book of Acts. It's the very first message that was preached after Jesus ascended into heaven. He rose from the dead, told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for him to send a promise. The promise, the comforter, his Spirit. And so this message is preached to try to reach for people that want more of that experience. And so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you'll hear us reference this a lot. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's why repentance here at Heaven View is more than just part of our Christian routine. We identify with the death of Jesus Christ by dying to our own sins, asking him to forgive us. That's why baptism by immersion in Jesus' name, the Bible way, it is still practiced here at Heaven View, because we know it's one thing for your sins to be forgiven, but it's awesome to have your sins washed away. And just as Jesus died and he was buried, so we repent and we are buried by baptism. We actually have a baptismal pool right here. It's already filled with warm water. We have robes ready even today, because baptism is not about joining our church or confessing that you're a Christian. Baptism is about putting your faith in Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I believe that when I repent, you forgive me. And when I'm baptized, you're washing all my sins away. And the reason why we keep that in front of people is because the apostle promised, as God inspired him, that when you repent and when you are baptized in Jesus' name, you receive a gift, and that gift is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says, if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit. In other words, just as Jesus Christ died and just as he was buried, that's not the end of the story. He rose again. And when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you receive that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It raises you up to live a new life. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I have to keep that in front of you, because as we celebrate this promise in Romans 8 that says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We want everybody to know that that promise is for you, whether you're a part of Heaven View or whether you're a Pentecostal or whether you're a Christian. That's not the issue. If you repent and you are baptized in Jesus' name, you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. the Spirit of God is not just for Pentecostals. The Spirit of God is not just for Catholics. The Spirit of God is not just for Christians. The Lord said in His Word, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. The Spirit of God is for Muslims. The Spirit of God is for Buddhists. The Spirit of God is for those that would consider themselves Hindus. In fact, all of them are welcome here because the Spirit of God is for everyone. And it's in this context that we have made an emphasis at the start of the year on abiding in Jesus. John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Like a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus is saying, remain in me, continue in me, stay with me, stick with me. Because if you will stay connected, my Spirit will make your life productive and fruitful for my kingdom. In fact, verse 5 says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's why we're focusing so clearly on Romans 8 today, because abiding in the Lord and the Lord abiding in us can be spoken of in this simple manner. If we are led by the Spirit of God, everything changes. Man, that's when you get the bells and whistles of being a Christian. That's when you see the fireworks. That's when you realize, wow, church doesn't have to be boring, and living for the Lord doesn't have to be the same old routine. As we abide in Him, we allow His Spirit to move in us, and we become aware that our life has a purpose that is bigger than ourselves. One writer said this. He said, we pray as if God's chief objective is our personal comfort. It's not. He said, God's chief objective is His glory. In other words, this whole process of abiding in Him and Him abiding in us, this whole process of us walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, it's not about us. No, if your life is just about you, you're going to have a miserable life. But if your life is about Him, pleasing Him and serving Him, you're going to kick into Christianity on steroids, if you will. And you're going to see Him work through you and live through you in ways that are absolutely phenomenal. Now look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 6. This verse is startling for many Christians who have somehow adopted Christianity as just another aspect of their whole package of having a good life that's all about them. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I believe that the vast majority of this congregation could raise their hand and say, I know that Jesus died for me. Even if this is not your home church, even if you're just here every now and then, many of you still hold to the reality that Jesus went to Calvary for my sins, that I wouldn't have to pay the penalty for sin in my life. Well, the reality is this, since Jesus died for us, He expects us to live for Him. Make that personal. Everyone that believes, yes, Jesus died for me, and so, yes, I will live for Him. And that's what's awesome about abiding. That's what's awesome about being led by the Spirit. This Holy Ghost inside of you will prompt you daily, regularly. You go to do what pleases you, and the Spirit of God will say, oh no, it's not about pleasing you, it's about pleasing God. That's how we can fulfill the law of God. Before the Holy Ghost, we didn't have an opportunity to obey God's law. But now that Jesus is living inside of me, the life which I now live, it's not me living. It's Jesus living in me and through me. And so as I abide in him, and as he abides in me, as his Spirit leads me, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. Oh, but Jesus, live in me, live in me. And so we look again at John 15. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. How is it possible that you could pray and have every answer that you seek? It's because as you get into the word, God starts speaking to you by your Spirit, and your prayer time is not just about me, myself, in mine. All of a sudden, you're not praying your will, you're praying his will. And anytime you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that prayer will be answered. In fact, John 15 and verse 10, he said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This will sound a little bit harsh, but you can swallow hard. I am not among the opinion or of the opinion that abiding in him, if you could stand for just a moment. What is the sports score? Just, oh no. He's got his Bible there. He may have this hand right here. Abiding in him is not this kumbaya, do what you want, live how you want, but Jesus loves you so much that it doesn't matter, you're just abiding in him. There's no Bible for that. Abiding in him is about a commitment to keep his word, a commitment to obey his word, to remain in his word, to continue in his word. And the more we choose to obey him, the more he starts showing off in our lives. He starts demonstrating his power. We start letting him live through us. That's why Galatians 5 verse 16 says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Down to verse 24, it says they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I don't want any names of any churches, but I've heard some of you testify, and you'd say, Pastor, I used to go to a church, and it seemed like on Sunday, everybody would get their groove on, but Monday through Saturday, everybody would live just like everybody else at work, and everybody else at school, and everybody else that doesn't follow Jesus. Let's not be one of those churches. I don't want to judge any other church, but as for me and my house, I want to abide with him to the degree that while I'm walking in the Spirit can start talking to me. The Word of God can start reaching for me. And all of a sudden, I can put away the works of the flesh. I can put away the... Oh, anybody hearing me today? I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. I'm talking about living in the Spirit. I'm saying for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Praise God. And so here is my hope and confidence from the Word of God. If we will increase our commitment to and our consistency of abiding in him, sticking with him, staying with him, remaining with him. That's not elusive, pie in the sky, touchy-feely. It really means if I'm staying with Jesus, I'm staying with his word. If I'm continuing with Jesus, I'm continuing in his word. If I'm remaining with Jesus, I'm remaining in his word. I'm obeying him. If we increase our commitment to these things, we will see more evidence that His Spirit is leading our lives. And God, I'm not talking about just people on the pulpit, or people on the platform, or people behind the pulpit. I'm not just talking about ministers. I'm talking about every saint of God being a minister. I'm talking about every saint of God being a child of God that's led by the Spirit. And if we will increase our commitment, you may not even consider yourself Pentecostal, but if you believe Jesus is your Savior, if you will just commit yourself to obeying the Word and sticking with Jesus, no matter what other people say, no matter what other people think, if you will remain with Him and you will yield your life to Him, you will see evidence of His Spirit leading your life. That is what abiding in Him will do for us. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, lead me more. I pray, Holy Spirit, guide me more. I pray, Lord, let all of this abiding with You change me until my life is not my own. You are leading me. Could you make that your prayer? Just a little 10-second prayer. Lord, I don't want to just live like an ordinary life. I don't want to just be a Christian, but fit in with the world as though there's nothing special or different or unique about me. No, God, I want Your Spirit to lead me, Lord. And You say, in Jesus' name. That's why we pray. That's why we fast. Jesus, lead us by Your Spirit more and more. That's why we abide in Him. That's why we let His Word abide in us. Why? Jesus, let Your Spirit lead us more and more. Isn't that what we want? More of Jesus. But not so I can get a big bumper sticker that says I'm a Christian. No. More of Jesus. So He literally can lead me. You know, this is going to sound old-fashioned, but the old timers, they would ask for the leading of the Spirit when it came to their education. Lead me, Lord. What school you want me to go to? I want to be led by Your Spirit. That sounds crazy, right? The old timers, when it came to their career, lead me, Lord, by Your Spirit. What should I pursue? I want to know. I'm going to get in Your Word. I'm going to have You direct me. This is really crazy. Even when they were seeking someone to marry, the old timers, they wouldn't just settle on that infatuation stuff. They might fall in love with somebody, but man, they'd find a prayer room somewhere and say, God, I think she's the one, but I'm asking You to confirm it, Lord, by Your Word and by Your Spirit. Is her life lining up with the Word of God? Does she have the same motivation and passion to be pleasing to You? And Lord, let Your Spirit confirm for me that this is Your will for my life at this time. Doesn't that sound crazy? It doesn't sound crazy if you're bought with a price. It doesn't sound crazy if you're not your own. It doesn't sound crazy if you belong to Him. The old timers would sing, lead me, Lord, I will follow. And ultimately, that's what abiding produces. This is like abiding on high alert. This is like abiding with this sense of expectation. As I am in Jesus and as Jesus is in me, He is going to lead me. Now, I know it sounds old-fashioned, but can I tell our young people that it's okay to still pray about what school you're going to go to, what college. It's okay to pray about what career you're going to pursue. It's okay to pray about who you're supposed to marry. It's okay even to speak to a godly leader and say, I feel like I've heard from God, but can you help me? Because I want to be led by the Spirit. Amen. 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 I know if we're not careful, we'll get too mature for all of that. But we're saying, I want to abide. I want to abide. Now, I found this passage in Acts 13. I was actually listening to some preaching on Facebook Live. I was taking notes. Man, this is good stuff. And somewhere in the process, that preacher got finished and another preacher got up and they made an announcement. Don't be putting this on Facebook Live. And I heard this voice behind the camera say, well, I got to obey. Click. This message would have been so much longer. The Lord was intervening on your behalf. But they read this verse and it blew me away. This has to do with following the leading of the Spirit. Acts 13 and verse 2, the disciples are seeking God, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Everybody say the work. For the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. It blew me away because I've been focused on abiding in him. And one of the benefits of abiding in him is being led by the Spirit to the degree that prayer and fasting brings clarity regarding the work that God has for us. If we're not careful, prayer and fasting will just be something else the pastor puts on the church calendar. And as soon as he takes it off, we can get back to our regular lives. That's not what prayer and fasting is all about. Prayer and fasting is about abiding in him and him abiding in us. Prayer and fasting is about being led of the Spirit to the degree that all of a sudden it becomes clear, wow, Jesus has a work for me to do. I think that is so important because when we give you a prayer and fasting calendar, we try to make it so that you have plenty of liberty and freedom to do it your way. We have a suggested way that you can fast. Sometimes it's the Daniel's fast. Sometimes it's a fast from meats and sweets and tweets. But some of us have missed the point and we think, well, if I just check this box off, I fasted this week and I fasted that week, I can go back to my life and my way and my plans and everything that matters to me. You've got it all wrong. Prayer and fasting should get us to the point where it does not matter what matters to me anymore. What matters is what matters to him. I'm being led by his Spirit. I'm being led by his Spirit. I'm abiding with him. And so I want to say to this great church family, and I know our guests are listening in, and I'm not sure I could put this on them, but all of you that consider this your church, especially those of you that lead us, you teach a Sunday school class, you're a life group leader, you stand behind this pulpit, I beg you, in just a little bit over a week and a half, 2 weeks, January will be over, but prayer and fasting is not over. Abiding in him is not over. Being led of the Spirit is not over. That's the time for those of you that know that God has called you to do his work, that know that God has his hand upon your life and family, that know that every good thing comes from above. That's the time for you and me, all of us, to say, oh Lord, I want to abide in you and you abide in me. And so every now and then, I don't have to see it on the church calendar. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast on my own so that you can clarify in my heart that your work is still number one, that your purpose is still number one, that you're still leading me. Come on, I wonder if you'd raise your hands if you're in ministry here at Heaven View and say, Jesus, that's me. I want to be led by your Spirit. I want to abide in you. I want the Holy Ghost to do a work in my life that changes me, that clarifies for me your work. I was talking to a pastor about these things. He said, it's kind of funny how people hear from God. He said, some people have never heard from God about anything that wasn't their idea first. I know what I want to do. So I'll pray and fast and say, oh, God spoke to me. It's not a conscious thing. It's a subconscious thing. Because this flesh is not your friend. And the reality is, if you do seek the Lord with all your heart, he will give you the desires of your heart. But be careful how you translate that. What really happens is as you pray, you're led of the Spirit. As you fast, you crucify your flesh. And guess what happens? Your desires start to change. And so he gives you the desires of your heart. In other words, he takes away those old carnal desires, those old fleshly desires. He starts putting desires in you that come from him and come from his word. And before you know it, something in your heart is beating a little bit faster that says, God, I'm being led by your Spirit, and I want to do what you want, forgetting about what I want. That's amazing, amen. And so how about we put this to practice in the next few weeks? Why don't we pray and fast, not because it's on a church calendar, but because we want to be led by the Spirit? In Acts chapter 9, we got this guy living for God. His name is Ananias. God speaks to him and says, you need to go witness to Saul. Ananias says, hold on a minute. Saul's been killing Christians. I don't want to go do that. But because he was being led by the Spirit, God was able to direct him to someone that all of the outside indicators said, this guy hates what I am. But God knew that a work was ready to be done. And thank God that Ananias was abiding in him, because that old nasty Saul became the biggest, best apostle that all of Christianity has ever witnessed. The apostle Paul that was a missionary to the world. Because one man of God, I am going to abide. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to be led by his Spirit. And when he speaks to me, it may be the last thing I want to do, but I just got to get past boring Christianity is all about me stuff. I just got to try launching out beyond just coming to church and doing my thing. I want to know, did this Spirit of God really direct somebody? Can this Spirit of God really lead somebody? Can Jesus inside of me really speak to me? Anybody want that? I'm sure. And some of us already have evidence that he does it. So I would like for you to pray and fast until God leads you to a hungry soul. Someone, you know how it is. Sometimes you've witnessed and you've tried to reach out to people and it's like nothing happened. It's like they weren't ready. But God, I'm praying and fasting until you lead me to someone that's already got the bullseye from heaven on their heart. And I'm going to open up my mouth and you're going to give me the words to say as I'm led by the Spirit. I'm going to abide in you until I bring forth some fruit, God. Come on, raise your hands and make that your prayer right now. Come on, some of you get it right now. Some of you know that you're hearing from God right now, and I want you to embrace it. Lord, I want to do it. I want to pray and fast until I'm abiding. I want to pray and fast until I'm led by the Spirit. Because as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I want to be a son of God. I want to be a child of God. Acts chapter 4. All these Holy Ghost believers, all these children of God, they're being persecuted. So they have a prayer meeting. Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, can I put that in modern English for you? These dudes prayed until they could say, it's not my stuff. It's not my money. It's not my life. It belongs to you, God. Here's the part that'll really mess with you. Let the church do whatever they want with it. How long you got to pray and fast before you feel that way? I'm not there yet. And I'm the pastor. But let's be honest that that's how the Spirit led them. The Spirit led them until their possessions no longer possessed them. Until they realized my job is for the purpose of God's glory. My income is for the purpose of God's glory. My resources are for the purpose of, why is that happening? Because I'm abiding with Him. Because I'm living for Him. Because His Spirit is leading me. How about we pray and fast until we give like it really belongs to Him anyway? How about we pray and fast till that happens? Why? Because when we do that, He'll open up the windows of heaven. I know some of you that have lived for God for just a short time. You know nothing about tithes and offerings. Don't even worry about it. Just come. You don't have to give money. Just come and receive wisdom and knowledge from the Word and teaching. But some of you that have lived for God for a long time, you are not faithful like you know to be faithful. You're not faithful like you've been taught to be faithful. And the problem is you haven't been praying and fasting. You haven't been being led by the Spirit. And the problem with that is you're just going to keep doing it your own way, and you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be miserable, you're probably going to be cursed. I'm not talking about some evil something coming out from the closet or underneath the bed. I'm talking about the Word of God, that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things shall be added. Somebody here needs to be led by the Spirit. So before you come up with all these excuses and all these reasons why it doesn't apply to you at this particular moment of your life, why don't you just pray and fast and say, Lord, I am overwhelmed. I don't know which way to turn, so I'm going to turn to You. I'm going to abide in You. I'm going to let Your Word abide in me, and I've got to have Your Spirit speak to me about this circumstance. I've got to have Your Spirit lead me so that I can be blessed. Oh, could you clap your hands if you've ever been blessed by God? If you've ever found a place where you said, Lord, it's not my money, it's not my job, it's not my life, it all belongs to You. Why? Because as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. This world needs to see the children of God right about now. This world needs to see the children of God right about now. And not just children of God because we come to church on Sunday. Children of God because we're led by the Spirit. We're abiding in Him. He's leading us. He's directing us. He's guiding us. Can you say amen? And so here's the quiz. I'm almost done, but here's the quiz. Ask yourself the question. Don't answer out loud. When was the last time I was led by His Spirit regarding my giving? Or has it become just something I just do? This is what we do. When was the last time I was led by His Spirit? Because as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I've talked to some people. I haven't solicited this. But I remember times I've talked to people that were about to make a major purchase, and the Spirit said, don't do that. And then down the road, they realized, wow, man, God knew stuff we didn't know. I've talked to people, even when it comes to something like Christmas for Christ. I talked to one man. He said the Lord told him to give an amount. And he said the amount seemed kind of strange because it was an odd amount. I forget what it was now, but it was just wasn't like, just like give $50, give $100, give $1,000. It was like, I wish I could remember. It's going to come to me. It was give $1,250. Well, that seems like a weird amount. You can give it to Christmas for Christ. Then as he was ready to give it, the Lord said, double it. He said, well, $2,500 makes sense. It only makes sense if you're walking by the Spirit. That's why it's so quiet in here right now. Because the carnal mind don't have any time for this. That's right. But the carnal mind is not what got you to where you are right now. It was the Spirit of God. And so I'm just asking you, are you in autopilot mode? Or are you still living for God, being led by the Spirit, where when you give, the Holy Ghost can talk to you. Now, you thought that question was hard. Here's the second and final question on the quiz. When was the last time the Spirit led you regarding your witness? I don't mean, here's a card, come to Heaven View. That's great. But when was the last time the Holy Ghost said, Acts 2:38, go give it to him right now? You think that don't matter to God anymore? You know, there are Muslims right now that are getting dreams and visions of Jesus, and they're being converted in apostolic churches all over the Middle East. Let me tell you, God cares as much about this lost world as he ever has. But when was the last time someone in the church said, man, I was just in the grocery store, and the Holy Ghost told me to go up to that person, and I was a little bit kind of like, they're going to think I'm a wacko. Well, if you're led by the Spirit, you don't care what they think about you. You just know, God, that's you. I know it's you because I've been praying and I've been fasting. I've been able to stick my flesh on the altar where it belongs. And so I'm just going to go tell them, man, I don't know who you are, but while I was walking down this aisle, I just felt like the Lord. I was focused on my Cheerios, but the Lord kind of led me. Are you okay? Have you been fighting sickness? Have you been fighting depression? You may think that's crazy, but not if you're led of the Spirit. I'm just saying, come on, church. Let's be more than just a church in name only. Let's be more than just Pentecostal or apostolic on Sunday. Could you raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to be led by the Spirit when it comes to my giving. I want to be led by the Spirit when it comes to my going. I want to be led by the Spirit when it comes to my witnessing. I want to abide in you, and I want you to abide in me. I want the Spirit to lead me until I can be fruitful. Come on, don't put it off right now. Just yield to it right now. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for just a moment. Come on, some of you are such good, godly people, but something inside of your heart is screaming out, I want more than just what I've got right now. I want more than just calling myself a Christian. I want to be a son of God. I want to be a child of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I want that, Jesus. I want more of that. Can I tell you something? If we are led by the Spirit, we will shatter every Christmas for Christ goal we ever set. If we are led by the Spirit. If we are led by the Spirit, we will have every resource to bless every missionary that comes our way. If we are led by, that's the kind of church we are. That's the kind of people God has raised up here at 1410 West Cumberland. This is not just an ordinary church. This is a Spirit-led church. So please be careful when you start to marginalize yourself as though, well, somebody else is going to have to do it this time. There's just no way I can do it. God placed you here. He called you for such a time as this, so that when you have an opportunity to invest in the work of God, you would be led by the Spirit. Can I tell you something else? If we are led by the Spirit, we will have hungry souls ready for the Holy Ghost every single service. They'll come here. God will lead them here, and he will lead us to them. Why? Because that's what the Spirit is doing in these last days. Praise God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen. So I want to ask you, it's our choice. We can pray and fast and be Spirit-led, or we can just go through the motions. And we can be a church that has a form of godliness, but no power. And we won't be Spirit-led. We will be Spirit dead, and carnality will eat through us until it eats away at the heart of our kids, and they will focus more on the world than on God. because we're not going to bring them through this nasty world with all of its sin just because we got a nice show on Sunday. Absolutely not. But if we pray and fast until we are led of the Spirit, there's going to be a fire flowing through every Bible study, a fire flowing through every life group meeting, a fire flowing through every Sunday school class. You know, there's going to be some Sunday school classes happening here in the next few weeks where the teacher's going to come run out of the room saying, "You're not going to believe this, but Junior's over here speaking in tongues for the very first time." You know why? Because some teacher's going to pray and some teacher's going to fast until the Holy Ghost is poured out, until we are led by the Spirit. It's going to come a time real soon when one of our leaders gets up and they open the Bible for a Wednesday night Bible study, and they're going to say, "You know, I'm about to teach on Proverbs, but let me tell you something. I was there at the supermarket the other day, and there was a man the Lord led me to. I began to talk to him, and we began to pray, and right there in aisle 7, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues." And let me tell you, it don't have to be a man. We got some great women of God working in those supermarkets. We just need to be led of the Spirit, because we are either Spirit-led or Spirit-dead. And as for me in my house, I've got to be led by the Spirit. I've got to abide in Him. I've got to abide in Him. I've got to pray. I've got to fast. Because they that are after the flesh, help me, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Romans 8 and 5. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Jesus, lead us by your Spirit. We can't settle for a life without peace. We can't settle for carnality that is the enemy of everything that's holy. Because the carnal mind is the enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus, lead us by your Spirit. If it's become easy, I'm not talking to our guests, but I'm talking to men and women of God, young people. If it's become easy to disregard and disobey portions of the law of God, that's not evidence of your spirituality. That's evidence of your carnality. You're becoming the enemy of what is holy. We have a stand against the world at Heaven View that impacts every part of the way we live and the way we look. But the beautiful thing about that stand is anybody is welcome to worship here. They don't have to believe anything that we believe. We're going to love them. We're going to help them. You know what makes me nervous, though? People that have been serving God for a long time, that have been taught, many by me, and they start to push back, start to change the way they look and the way they live, and they feel like it's because I've got some enlightenment. I've got some more spirituality. No. That's carnality. That's the enemy of what's holy. That's the enemy of a holy God. And so I'm asking you, if you are so spiritual that you can disregard and disobey the teaching and the preaching, could you do me at least this favor? Pray and fast and get in the Word long enough to be able to come and say, "Pastor, humbly, I've been praying and fasting, and humbly, I need to show you what the Lord showed me from His Word." But don't come show me something you saw on Facebook. Don't come show me something they're doing across town or across the world. "That's why it don't apply to us." No, that's craziness. That's carnality. God, help us to be led by the Spirit. Because they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Could you stand and raise your hands and say, "I need a pastor, and I need a Bible. but I need the Spirit of God. I need a church, and I need brothers and sisters, but I need the Spirit of God. God, don't let carnality rob me of the blessing of abiding, of sticking with Jesus, of remaining. Oh God, help us to abide in you. Help us to be led by you. Help us to bring forth much fruit. Jesus, lead us by your Spirit. Because as many as are led by your Spirit, they are the sons of God. In Jesus' name. God, help me to pray and fast until your Spirit leads me in my giving. Until your Spirit leads me in my witnessing. Not in the sweet by and by. Not just when I'm behind the pulpit. I know you lead me, God, when I'm teaching, when I'm preaching. But your Spirit is so awesome that when I'm at home or when I'm somewhere in the community, Jesus, lead us by your Spirit. I picked up this man today. Early this morning, he's just walking down the street. I said, you need a ride? It was raining. Some of you, it was raining this morning. He said, man, that'd be great. He got in the car and said, well, you don't look like an axe murderer. He said, I'm not. I said, well, I'm not either. We both felt better then. And I talked to him for a little bit, just drove him where he had to go. I wish I could have told you that he burst out speaking in tongues there. In fact, as far as I got with him, he didn't want to come to church. He said he had a friend that was sick. He was going to be with her. I said, well, can you just do me one favor? He said, what is it? I said, can you root for the Packers today? He said, no problem. But you know, I want to be more sensitive to God than that. I got that part covered. I think I'm about to pray and fast some more. I'm just being honest. Until the Holy Ghost. I mean, can you imagine if I said, well, I don't know your name, but you're wearing green underwear. Let me tell you what God said. Boy, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I think some of you, God's going to lead you to try that out in the supermarket this week. No, I hope not. But what I'm saying is this word of God works. And you are children of God. So many of you here, even some that don't even call this your church, you know you're a believer. And there's a verse, it's my final verse. It's found in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said, I got to find it, I hope I didn't lose it. 1 Corinthians 2. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I'm saying when you go to work tomorrow, that Holy Ghost inside of you is going to start revealing some things. If you're praying, if you're fasting, if you're abiding in him, if you're seeking to be led by the Spirit, that Jesus inside of you loves every single one of those coworkers, loves every single one of those friends at school, and he will begin to reveal to you, this is what you say, this is how you pray, this is how you encourage. Hey, even if they don't even make it to heaven view, they can make it to Jesus. If you and I could say, you know, I got to be honest, I haven't been praying and fasting with that kind of motive or that kind of purpose, but I feel it in my heart right now. I'm going to pray and fast until I walk into work the next time and I'm led of the Spirit. Because God is going to reveal some things. He's going to do some things. Oh, would you pray in the Holy Ghost right now? I know I've taken a lot of time, but I want the Spirit of God to lead somebody right now. I want the Spirit of God to lead somebody right now. I'm done. I know I've taken a while. I know some of us got to go to Taylorsville. We got to go to King. I know we got a lot of plans, but I'm begging you right now. to just believe you can be led of the Spirit, to just believe you can abide, you can remain, you can continue until your giving is not just part of your religious routine, it's led by the Spirit, until your witnessing is not just something you do every now and then, but you're led by the Spirit, until your praying is not just something you do that's focused on your own needs, but you're focused on the needs of your workplace, the needs of your community, and the needs of this world that needs Jesus so desperately. Come on, is there anybody that would say, you know what, I've been praying and fasting, no meats, no sweets, I got that down, but I feel the call of God to another level of commitment. I don't want to just be someone in this church that has the name of being a leader. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a child of God. And as many as are led of the Spirit, as many as are led of the Spirit, I don't want to just be a pastor. I don't want to just be an elder. I don't want to just be a Sunday school teacher. I want to be led of the Spirit. I don't want to just be a Christian. I don't want to just be someone that comes to church on Sunday. I want to be led of the Spirit. Is there anybody that would join me at the altar? You would stand and raise your hands and say, I want to be led of the Spirit, Pastor. I want to be led of the Spirit, Jesus. I want to be led. Come on, anybody got the Holy Ghost that you could come and say, oh, Holy Ghost, be stirred up inside of me. Oh, Spirit of the living God, be stirred up inside of me. Come on, everybody, come. Come on, if you don't have the Spirit of God, come running. Come running and say, Jesus, fill me today. Fill me today so you can lead me tomorrow. Come on, everybody, everybody, all you singers, come on down here. We don't need anything right now but people that know how to pray. Come on, everybody praying. Some of you, come on, musicians too, everybody come. Everybody, we got to be led of the Spirit.